Hi, my name is Tony. I am a shy and introverted kid, and I created this podcast with some help and encouragement from my dad. The goal is for me to break out of my shell and become more comfortable with people. It's important to be a good listener, but also to be heard when you have something to say. Hi, my name is Tony, and welcome to the fifth episode of my podcast. Today, my special guest is Carol Soon.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Let's get started. Where were you born?
I was born in Manila, Philippines, back in 1982.
How long were you in the Philippines?
Well, since 1982, I was born in Quezon City, which is a Chinese hospital. And I lived there since I was 3 years old. And then I moved and immigrated here to Canada. Well, I didn't. My family did. I had no choice. I was a baby. So, yeah.
What did you do when you came to Calgary?
What did I do? I grew up most of my time. I was three. I grew up here in Calgary. I went nursery from kindergarten, elementary, junior high, high school, and from there I started working overseas.
What jobs did you have?
My first job was New York Fries at Eaton Center. It's always going to be fast food. But I was working at New York Fries, and that was my first time to actually be trained. Like, my parents trained me to save money, and this is how I did it. And rather than them giving me allowance, right, I had to earn the money. At home, I had to earn the money as well. So if I wash the dishes, I get $2. If I mow the lawn, I get $5. The harder the job, I get more money. But my first job was New York Fries, and then I worked for the Stampede. I think it was called Bunkaroos, from what I recall. I basically babysat little kids in the Big Four building, in the basement part. And then after that, junior high, high school, I wasn't allowed to work. I had to focus on school. And right after university, I visited Auckland, New Zealand, and I fell in love with the country. And then I told my parents that after I graduate, I'm going to work there, which I did.
What kind of job do you have now?
Right now, oh wow, that's a really heavy question. Right now, Al knows, but what I currently focus on right now is human resources for an IT consulting company, IT company. I do a lot of human resources, and I also deal with account managing. So I deal with a lot of the clients. I visit them often on a month-to-month basis. I also manage the office, and I also assist with the operation side of the business. So right now we're rebuilding the business, and we're rebuilding it here and in Sydney. So I'm offering a lot of my services in that aspect.
Do you have any hobbies?
Oh, yeah. Number one hobby is photography. So just like your father, I'm a photographer as well. I do a lot of painting and sketching. I guess my hobbies became, an addiction of some sort. I'm addicted in collecting notes from all over the world. So wherever I travel to, I collect the bills from the countries or the cities and little tiny towns that I've been in. Yeah.
What is the most interesting thing you've done in your life?
The most interesting thing I've done in my life is going against my parents. But don't do that. How I went against my parents is basically, I'll tell you the story. I was an air cadets for 9 years. And this was during, in between junior high and high school. And when it was time for me to enlist myself in the Air Force when I was 17 years old, they said no. I got mad. I got really mad. Why did you put me through so much? Like, it's just, I went through school, and then I went to school again. And then after that school, on the weekend, I was in Chinese school. So I really had no life, really. So I put myself through that because they wanted me to. So that got stuck in my head. And then my mom got me to do acting. So I was in moviekids.com when I was 16. It started when I was 16 years old. So I did a lot of, I was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, TV sequel. I did Cadillac Malls, which is like South Center, Chinook, Market Mall. So I did a lot of their commercials. And what else did I do? I did a lot of facial modeling when I was 16, 17, and 18. And then I got recruited to be in Shanghai Noon, the movie. Shanghai Noon with Jackie Chan. Do you know that movie?
No.
You don't know that movie? You'd have to watch it. Because it was filmed here in Calgary and in Sebald area, Morley area. So when I got casted on, my parents said no. And that's another big hit. You know when you're trying to accomplish something and you push yourself really hard to get it done? This is just your self-achievement. And then your parents say no to you? So it was my turn to rebel. So my rebellion was moving to New Zealand. They were against it, but I did it anyways. And then after I came back from New Zealand, I was back for 4 months here in Calgary. And what they did was that they went to New Zealand and visited my relatives. And at that time, being home alone for 1 month, I moved to Vancouver without them knowing. So when I moved to Vancouver, I basically called them and said, hey, yeah, so how's your trip? You know, how's your holiday? You're going to come back in December. Perfect. Well, just letting you know, I'm still here in Vancouver. I haven't flown to Calgary. I haven't flown back home yet. And I got a job. Okay, enjoy. Bye. See ya. And I hung up. So that, I guess, is the most interesting thing in my life. I just took charge and I just took initiative and just did what I wanted to do at that time. But don't do that again. Don't rebel against your parents.
What other places did you travel to?
Let's say the places I haven't traveled to is South America and Africa. But I've, and Antarctica and the Arctic there. But I've been everywhere else.
What was your favorite place?
Favorite place? Vienna, Salzburg, Austria. Austria. Salzburg and Vienna in Austria.
What was the weirdest thing you've seen?
I don't know. In general? Traumatizing, maybe? Impacting in a positive way, a negative way?
In a positive way.
In a positive way. A positive way for me would be, I built houses and schools in Mexico in 2012 in January. The positivity that came out of it was just pure happiness and tears because kids just rushed towards you. I'm getting goosebumps right now. Just rushed towards me with happy tears. And I'm an emotional person and I cry right away. And as soon as that school was built and the little houses that common areas, common families had to share, we did that. I did that. My sweat did that. So that was the most moving thing in a positivity way, in a positive way. Do you want to know my negative? Yeah. this won't traumatize you though. I was in the Philippines and it was during Easter. And you know how Filipinos in the Philippines are very, very religious. Extreme Catholic, basically, is what I call them. We were stuck in traffic. And the traffic in the Philippines is horrendous. A four-lane road becomes an eight-lane road. And that's not even an exaggeration. That's true. So we were stuck in traffic. And in our car, it was air conditioned, all tinted and everything. And all these people are, you know, knocking on windows and they're trying to sell you either, it's called sampaguita, those string flowers that they make and they sell it to you, or they sell peanuts, they sell cigarettes, they sell whatever on the streets. And every single time I want to buy a sampaguita, like, you know, that flower, because it smells so good, my parents would always say no, right? Because if I were to buy one from one kid, all the kids will come swarming in our cars and we can't go anywhere. So at that time, from, let's say, two blocks away from where our car was, I see these men just wearing jeans and topless. So they were shirtless. They weren't wearing any shirt. They were wearing just jeans, and they were shackled. So again, this is Easter. So it's all about penance, right? What is that called? Redeeming your sins, or doing your penance, basically. And they had chains on their neck, and they were chained up to each other. And they were walking on the road, not on their feet, but on their knees. And they had palm leaves on their left hand, and they were whipping themselves, basically. And I asked my parents. I was probably 9 years old. How old are you?
12.
You're 12? I was around 9, 10 years old. And, you know, being a child, you know, at that age, you're wondering what's going on. What is this, right? It's like, Mom, Dad, what's going on over there? How come? And their backs were bloody. Like, it was because they're whipping themselves with the palm leaves, right? And they said that this is their way of basically asking God for forgiveness. That this is their way of penance, of, you know, redeeming themselves back again to being holy and spiritual. And I still didn't understand it, but I felt so much pain. I was 9, and I felt so much pain for those prisoners. They were actually prisoners. I bought the whole bundle of sampaguita from a little girl that came. I looked around. I rolled down my window, and I bought the entire thing with the money, the coins that I had. I just gave her everything, and it probably paid more than that, but she was really happy. And when those guys passed by our car, they came closer. I went down from the car and I put the sampaguita around their heads. And I was 9 years old. So that was negative, but it also became positive at the same time. And everyone was shocked, right? Of course, I got in trouble because I left the car. But there you go. Those are my experiences. It's not really a trauma, but it's a memory that will never go away.
What other experiences did you have in the Philippines?
I'll name you all of them, and then I'm gonna ask you questions in relation to it, if you can relate to it. So that was one of them, what I just mentioned with the shackles and the whipping and the penance. Another one is something that I've mentioned to your mom, and I was 13, I believe. Every year we would go back to the Philippines because we were visiting my grandmother, who was aging at that time. And I've always wanted to go to this place called Smoky Mountain. And Smoky Mountain, to me, sounded like paradise. I was like, oh, you know, I was imagining palm trees, beach, sand, a big volcano, because Philippines is all about volcanoes, right? And so I know that there's a lot of dormant volcanoes in the Philippines, but I also know that there's still some active ones, just like Hawaii. So I kept on pestering my mom, and even my sisters. My sisters kept on pestering my parents too. Let's go to Smoky Mountain. I want to go to Smoky Mountain. So they finally said yes. They caved in and said yes. Okay, we'll go. So we packed up. I, like, submerge myself in like a suntan, what is it, sunscreen lotion, and we were ready with our bathing suits, and we packed everything for the beach. We were stuck in traffic. Like, traffic again there is very, very, it's horrible. And we just kept on going deeper and deeper and deeper into traffic, and we're like, what's going on? And because I lived here in Calgary, and I was westernized, I guess. I don't know what to say, but I never was raised in the slums, or I didn't know what are they called? Squatters? I didn't know what squatters were. I didn't know what homeless people were. I saw the homeless people here in Calgary, but they were still clothed and they were still eating, right? But have you ever seen a third world country yourself?
No.
No? Have you read magazines or seen pictures?
No.
Just imagine a mother who's half-dressed. She's barely covered, and she's holding a child, and she's holding another child, and they're completely dirty. Like, hair, you couldn't even tell if from her hair to her skin. They were that dirty. The kids, you couldn't even see their facial expression because they were that dirty. All you can see is their eyes because they're just blinking. And their teeth, you couldn't even tell that if they even had teeth. They were very, very poor. And we just kept on driving into the slums, basically, of the Philippines. And I said to my parents, I thought we're going to the beach. I thought we're going to the ocean. Where are we going? And it's like, no, we're nearby. We're close. I'm like, Mom, Dad, you know, like, don't make a joke out of this kind of thing. They're like, we're really close. I remember seeing a 7-Eleven because, heaven forbid, there's 7-Eleven everywhere in the world. I remember seeing a 7-Eleven and our car turned right from where that 7-Eleven was. And I kid you not, you've seen Nose Hill Park yourself, right? Mm. Nose Hill Park here in Calgary? Yeah. So imagine you driving on John Laurier and you're driving towards Nose Hill Park and there was this huge mountain of just garbage. Garbage. It was everyone's rubbish in Manila. Metro Manila and Manila. That was your dumping grounds. And it was a mountain because they can't even burn it down or they can't topple it. That was your landfill. And it was a mountain. It was Nose Hill Park. That's how big it was. And people lived in that area, in that vicinity, in that mountain. It's Smoky Mountain. If you were to say you're from Smoky Mountain, you lived in the slums. I would see kids. There was an overflowing sewer. And the cap of the sewer on the ground, it wasn't even there. And it was just overflowing. And this little child had, it looked like a, like, you know, the butter container, like a yogurt container, a plastic container. They were bathing from that overflowing sewer. And then we passed by this bridge, and the river underneath this bridge was black, pure black, with probably a ton of, what are they called, water lilies, along the side of the retaining walls and along the river side. And above the retaining wall was this little child who's just crouched over, completely naked, dirty, very, like, completely naked and very dirty. And he was just extracting his feces right there in the river, just like that. And so having experienced this myself and seeing this myself, when I came back to Canada, I basically looked, because we didn't have Google back then, or we didn't have Wikipedia back then. I don't think we even had internet back then. We did, but we didn't at home. I was looking through the encyclopedia and through books, right? I went to the library and I went to go research more about Smoky Mountain. And people live, it's basically a cemetery as well, because bodies are buried there. It's just, that's another traumatizing an experience. Another thing that you could say in the Philippines too, I mean my earrings got snatched out of my ears and I have pierced earrings. I got my purse stolen from me, slashed with a knife, and they even cut my shirt open just to get my purse. I got tapeworm in the Philippines. Oh, rats are as big as this laptop, about a foot and a half long, right? Probably, I don't know, 6 inches, 8 inches wide. They're huge. They're like cats. They look like cats. And that landed on me when I was sleeping. Yeah. So yeah, I've had good memories in the Philippines, but I've also had those bad ones too. I'm only naming you the bad ones. The good ones are good. Like, they're all family related. So
Have you ever been anywhere in Europe?
Yes. All over.
What was your favorite place in Europe?
Again, my favorite place would still be Austria. Austria. So, would you like to know where I started in Europe?
Yeah.
Okay. I started in the UK, and The reason why I went to Europe at that time was I volunteered for the Olympics, the Summer Olympics in 2012. And after the week was done, I basically didn't want to go back home yet. I said, nope, this is not it. I want to go back. I could work anywhere in the world, just as long as there was internet at that time. So I met my cousin from New Zealand in London. So her and I traveled around Europe. And we took a tour. And the tour basically went all from Western Europe, all the way down to the Southern Europe, to the Aegean Sea, and then back up to the Eastern countries. And then it circled back around to London.
Have you ever been to Italy?
Yes. I've been all around Italy.
What is it like?
We'll start with the northern region of Italy, and then I went all the way down to the southern part of Italy. So I started in Florence. So it goes Florence, Pisa, and Tuscany. So we drove from Florence to Pisa and Tuscany, and from there, that's when I discovered more about Napoleon. Do you know about Napoleon?
Yeah.
The little short man that's 4'11". Do you know how he died? Do you remember how he died?
No.
No? He drank himself to death with arsenic. So, having said that, Napoleon has a stamp all over Europe. All over. Actually, you know what? It became like an obsession for me and my cousin to go to all the places where Napoleon has been. And to actually go to his houses, too. So from Florence, we stood at the, I forgot what the bridge is called, but it was the only bridge that Hitler did not bomb during World War II. The only one. Can you believe that? It was in Italy, and he fell in love with this magical bridge. This bridge now is used for stores, mostly stores. There's no cafes, no gelatos or anything. The stores are all gold. They're all jewelry stores. So it basically enhances, it gives it more brilliance, you know, it authenticates, is that the word? The bridge. So everyone wants to go on that bridge and take pictures of it and, you know, stay on that bridge and buy jewelry. It's like, oh, I got this bracelet from blah, blah, blah. I forgot the name. I'm so sorry. From that bridge. And everyone would know right away. And then Tuscany, we basically enjoyed the northern part of Italy is known for its rich soil. And when there's rich soil, that means there's rich grapes. And you know what grapes, what they do with the grapes in Italy?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They make wine.
Exactly. So they have the best wine, red, white, ice wine, you name it. So in Tuscany, we did a lot of wineries and cheese tasting. That was really fun. And then we went down to Pisa. And, of course, you know Pisa, right? The Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't get to do is I didn't get to climb up to the very, very top of Pisa. And, oh, Kate, the bridge that I was mentioning to you earlier, it's called Nere de Frovante. I don't know how to say it. Basically, it's called the old bridge, Point Vecchio. Hey, oh, I know now. Okay, that reminds me now. Point Vecchio. So there's a history of Point Vecchio. It's just okay. So there, thank you, Al. That's the old bridge in Florence. That's the name of it. But going back to Pisa, there was a huge lineup to go to the very, very top of the Leaning Tower. And knowing me, I don't have the patience to line up in a scorching heat. It was like 38 degrees when I was there, and it was pure humidity. And the sun was scorching down, so all I did was just take photos of it. So basically, here's Pisa, the chapel, and then there's the administrative where the priests, the nuns, like that's their office area. That's another building. And I went inside the church, and it was 12 euros to go inside the church, and it was 9 euros to go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Yeah, exactly. But I remember, basically, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is in a fortified city. So there's a retaining wall all around the three main monuments in that area. And outside the retaining walls, that's when you see, like, McDonald's and Burger King and all these little markets where you can buy, like, bracelets and, you know, keychains from Italy. And so anyways, I went inside. And I went inside the retaining walls, and I see these three gigantic monuments. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm at Pisa. Oh my, it's like a self-achievement. It's like, yes, I'm here. So I lined up for the church. I went inside, took photos. It was fabulous. Looked at Pisa, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to line up because the lineup is ridiculous. But what I saw was a lot of people were going like this. They're putting their hands up, like they're, you know, one, whether their left arm or their right arm is above each other, and they're doing the lean, they're trying to push the Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa in the photo. So what I did was that they were doing it all towards this gated area. It's like black, it's a black gate. And then beyond the black gate is just green grass. And then on the other side is cobblestone, basically, right? Or dirt. So I went inside the grass area. We're not supposed to, but I did. And I gave everyone a high five. Everyone around it was like this, with their hands up in the air. I ran around, and I had my backpack on. And the thing is, my advice when you're in Europe, have a backpack with you always. And always have your Canadian flag on your backpack so they know that you're a weird Canadian. Can you imagine this, like, short Asian girl just giving everyone a high five? Everyone looked at me. They're like, what's going on? What just happened? So there's that. And then we went down to the eastern coast. Just last September, actually, I was in Italy. And we went down to the western coast of Italy. So Civitavecchia, Livorno, and all these places where... Civitavecchia, you know, have you seen the statue in San Diego of the sailor kissing the nurse?
No.
It's a really famous statue. And basically, I think it was World War One. Is it World War One? That statue that came from? World War One. The soldier came back and kissed, like, you know, the American soil. Yes, I'm back. You know, I'm back to my homeland. The war is over. And basically, he told his friends that the first female that I see on land, on our homeland, I'm going to kiss her. So as soon as he stepped down from the boat, he kissed the girl, which is a nurse, that was right beside him. And it was, that's a monumental, I don't know, statue. Like, it's known everywhere. And it's funny because when I went to Civitavecchia in Italy, they had the exact same statue up there. And I was like, what's going on? That was a Navy base for the Americans in Italy. So when they were fighting off Greece, when they were fighting off the Germans, and when they were fighting off like Serbia and all those war-torn countries back then in World War II, I guess, and even till now, yeah, that was a Navy base for the Americans. So there's a lot of half Italian, half Americans in that port. And I was like, oh, interesting. So I went down, kept on going down to Rome. Rome, the Vatican City, beautiful. Awesome. Do you want to go there?
Yeah.
What do you know about Rome? What do you know? Like, what are the monuments that you know about Rome?
The Colosseum.
Do you know what happened in the Colosseum?
Not really.
So that's when they did a lot of their fighting. So they usually fight for marriage. They fight for land. They fight for hierarchy? No, not hierarchy. Like, say that my family is richer than your family. You and I fight now, kind of thing. And status. There you go. Social status. Yeah, I went to the Colosseum. Okay, one thing that you have to know about me, Tony, I'm weird. And I don't know if you can tell that already, but I plank everything. Do you know what planking is?
No.
When you go in your belly on a structure of some sort, of anything, like a bridge, chairs, a bench in a park, a statue even, I basically land, I lie in my belly, and I lie straight like this, and someone takes a picture. So I planked the Colosseum inside it while all these people were looking at me. It's like, oh, look at that Canadian again. So I represented Canada in a very, very funny way when I was in Italy. There's also the Forns, and that is where, it's right beside the Colosseum. Ancient, like back in the 80s, is it, I believe? Imagine these structures are still there, still preserved very, very well. Some of them are rumbling now. Some of them have actually deteriorated over the last 5 years because of tourists going and passing through them. But, I mean, Rome is, it is a very, very romantic city. There you'll see a really nice modern building, and right beside it is a column of some sort that they used back in, you know, 400 AD. It's crazy. You would turn corners and you would see all these fontanas, like fountains. One thing you have to remember about Italy, and this is anywhere in Italy, and only Italy, is that they have natural spring water underneath the ground. So every single fountain that you see, you can actually drink the water. And it's cold, like so cold, ice cold. It's like someone just gave you ice water and the ice melted and it was that cold. It's awesome. I never bought water in Italy at all. I bought one water bottle for my bottle to use to just to refill it all the time. But yeah.
You mentioned that you went down to the south of Italy and went back up the eastern coast. Tell me about the rest of your trip.
Well, yeah, for sure. So from south, I even went even southern, and I went to Malta. For Malta, I didn't really like it very much. We rented a car, and we ended up driving up the eastern coast. And from there, we were basically touching the Aegean Sea now. And Aegean Sea is probably half of Italy is Aegean, and then southern part of Italy is the Mediterranean Sea. And you know the countries that roam around the Mediterranean Sea, do you?
No.
No? Like Greece? Have you, you've heard of Greece?
Yeah.
Croatia?
No.
Serbia?
No.
No? Turkey?
Yeah.
Montenegro?
No.
No? Awesome! When you go down there, you have to visit all those places. So basically from Rome, we went back to Rome. We went to Naples, and do you know what Naples is famous for?
No.
Pizza. Napoli pizza. That's where pizza came from. Did you know that?
No.
Now you do. They have the best flatbread pizza. And we got to see them actually cook it the way they cooked it way back in the, like, when they invented pizza. It's completely different from Pizza 73. From Little Caesars, from Domino's, completely different, and we got to taste it. It's really, really good. Only thing about Naples is that it's very, very dangerous to go to Naples, especially if you're a tourist. So if you do go, you have to make sure that you don't wear any jewelry or anything. Just make sure that you're very self-aware when you're in Naples. 6-hour drive up, we went to Venice, and then from Venice, do you know what Venice is known for?
No.
Have you heard of the canals in Venice?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're known for, it's a city of water, basically, right? And so one thing, I'm just going to educate you now. The city was built on top of water. And how they built the city was from totem poles. So basically, there's all these large logs. So imagine my fingers are logs, and they're all tied together, right? And they're stabbed on the bottom of the ocean. And then from there, they even it out, and they even it out with mud. So it's just logs and mud. That's it. That's what Venice was built on, basically. Nowadays, we invented cement and tarmac and stones and cobblestone and all that. So over time, they just kept on building and building and building on it. And every single year, Venice actually sinks about 2.5 feet every year, even to current date right now. So a lot of the houses in Venice, the first floor is now submerged in the bottom of the ocean. So their first floor now is no longer a floor. Their second floor is now their first floor. And they build up because they can't really build, you know, wide. How do I say that? They can't widen out the city anymore, right? Unless they have to, they make their own islands again, but they have to build up. So, yeah. So from Venice, very, very beautiful city. Very romantic again. Very historic. Architecture is beautiful. And then from there, we took the train to Milan. And then from Milan, north of Milan, there's three large lakes. One is Lake Como. The other two I forgot the names of. But Lake Como. I remember Lake Como because George Clooney bought a house in Lake Como. And that's where he got married to. But anyways, from there, from Milan, north of Milan, you'll see mountains ahead of you. And those mountains are not actually in Italy. That's Switzerland that you're looking at. Can you imagine? When you cross the lake in front of you, like when you cross the lake that you're, you know, they have ferry rides there. So from the port that you're at, you're in Italy. You cross the lake, you're in Switzerland. That's amazing. So that's the beauty about Italy, not Italy, Europe, is that it could take you an hour for you to get to another country. Or it can take you even half an hour to cross the border and you'll be in a completely different country. And sometimes it'll take you 2 hours, but I don't think from you to drive from one country to another, if you're actually just coasting the borders, it'll take you less than 5 hours. And you'll be probably in 3 different countries in less than 5 hours. How amazing is that? So is there anything else you'd like to know about Italy?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I think I'm going to end the show. So thank you, Carol, for coming on.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
And thank you, audience, for listening to this podcast. And I will be back in 2 weeks.